talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Here's a 2-2. A ground ball at the middle. Base hit center field. A hot shot. Judge scores. Stanton at first with a ribby single. And the Yankees take a 3-0 lead.
Yeah, buddy. 306. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Giancarlo Stanton. And that's really when I felt like, okay, three's good. Three is good. I was certainly glad they get one to start the game. You wish you would have gotten more. Judge with a disappointing double play in that first inning. But they get one. Okay. Then you see Cole is going to be Cole, and he's going to be good. He gets through the first couple innings. All right, it's a one-run lead, though. Not enough. Clearly not enough. Then they get the two-out base hit from Glaber, which was obviously huge in this game. And that makes it two. And I'm still thinking, all right, well, now I feel a little bit more breathing room, but a bloop and a blast. Still two's not enough, and not necessarily that you ever feel like three is enough, but three with the way Cole was pitching, the way this bullpen's been going, three is where I really felt good about things. And that Judge double was big. The Stanton hit was big. Even Wells, who's done nothing in the series, who's been really rough, you know, other than the, I guess he had an RBI single game one, but still, Wells is struggling here. He gets that ground ball that moves it over, that moves Judge over to third, forces them to bring the infield in, and Stanton whistles one up the middle. The guy's been unbelievable. But that's really when I felt like, okay, they're going to win. I felt very confident after that third run that the Yankees are going to win the game. And listen, when Isbell hits that fly ball to deep right field, for a moment I thought they were going to lose or at least tie the game up. But Stan's been so good, and he said something after the game. He continues to just say the right things. I mean, if we're being fair, like ask, if you're a Yankee fan and you're being fair, this guy has been so good in so many different ways, big time in the postseason, says all the right things. He's an easy guy to root for. And I thought his answer to there was a question that Meredith asked him in the Yankee postgame that I was watching, and she said, how do you feel about the series you just had? Right? Like, how do you feel about what you just did? How do you feel about this series? And he responded with, it's over. And I have to move on to the next one. Because then she kind of, you know, asked him again, well, how do you feel about your offensive performance? And then he got into it a little bit. But straight, like, how'd you think about your series? It's over. It's the perfect answer. It's exactly what you're looking for. It is over. Now we welcome the ALCS back to the Bronx. And they got to be better. Offense has to be better. I think it will be, but the offense has to be better. But I just love that answer from Stanton. Loved it. And the bats I saw, I think Judge is on his way to have a big ALCS. I really have no doubt. And the other guy who I want to talk about, who's hit into some bad luck in this series, and really, if you're being fair and you're not a Yankee hater, and they've won the series, so I think can be fair now. They hit into some bad luck. Did they get lucky with the Jazz Chisholm play in the first game? Absolutely. I thought he was out, even especially after replay. I thought he was out. I could tell that he came off the base a little bit. Replay, for sure, I thought he was out. They caught a break there, no doubt. But from that moment on, there was a bunch of hard-hit balls. A bunch. Gleyber Torres is, you know, little fly ball down the right field line. Should have been fair. They hit the ball hard a bunch and had nothing to show for it. And none more than Anthony Volpe. I thought, for a guy who's had a disappointing first 2 years, I don't think there's any other way to put it. Right? His rookie year was okay. I mean, he had 20 home runs. He wasn't nearly as good as we had hoped or what he showed in spring training. It wasn't the instant success that some other rookies have been. And then this year got off to a great start, and you thought, finally, you know, he's found himself, and he's going to have this great year. And did not. Let's just be fair, did not. A little bit better. Obviously a great defender. Gold Glove winner in his rookie season. That's nothing to sneeze at. But he has not been what we had hoped he would be. I think that's just fair. But I got to tell you, the at-bats in this series, I thought he had great at-bats. He's not strong enough to hit home runs the other way right now, certainly in this building that they played in last night. So it's a little frustrating to consistently see these hard hit line drives out to right field, and you know it's not getting over the outfielder's head. But he's hitting the ball hard that way especially. He comes through with the base hit in this game. The only other hit besides Stanton in Game 3. He's got another hit in this game. He ends it with a line drive to third base. He's walked a couple times. If you've watched Volpe's at-bats here in these couple of games, Volpe has really done a nice job. He had a very good series. He made all the plays defensively other than the big error. I shouldn't have said that. He did make a bad error in this series, but he got to all the plays. He made a big play in this game. He hung in and stood tough when someone slid in late and then tried to intimidate him, and he wasn't having it. And he had a bunch of good at-bats, and I'm hoping Volpe can be something at the bottom of the order, create some speed. I also thought the Yankees had opportunities to steal bases in this game and didn't take it. That bothered me. They had a couple of first and third opportunities that I don't understand why they're not trying to steal a base. You know, when it's first and third, they might not even throw through. How many times have we seen that in baseball games? Like with a runner on third, they might not even throw through. And they got like, you know, Jazz. Which inning was it? Was it Jazz or... No, it was Volpe in the fifth. You got Birdie who had a single in the inning after Volpe. Volpe gets on with his hit. Birdie gets on. And Glaber is up, and that's the base hit. That's right, that's it. He gets the base hit. We're on third. But, like, you've got Birdie at first with Volpe, or excuse me, with Verdugo at third. Steal a base there with Birdie. He led the National League in stolen bases. They might not even throw through, and now Glaber's hit gets you two runs. And then clearly the other one was when they pinch hit for Stan with Ellis in the eighth inning. Judge is at third after the ground ball from Wells. They intentionally walk Stan. You got first and third. They pinch run with Ellis. Ellis is a base stealer. It's why he's on the roster. Steal a base. They probably don't even throw through. You got runners at second and third. A base hit gives you two runs then. But they've got some speed. They've got some different things they do to you. I think, listen, the Yankees played a clean series. They didn't hit with runners in scoring position, but other than the Volpe error where he threw the ball away into right field in game one, I thought they played clean defensively. Both first basemen are no longer issues. Both Cabrera and Birdie can play the position. That double play, that's a seasoned veteran first base play. To tag the bag and then throw the ball over the shoulder of the runner heading into second base to get that out, that's a veteran first base move. You can't do it better than that. I mean, they were well within, they have been found, Boone and the decision makers of the New York Yankees have been justified in throwing Birdie out there and throwing Cabrera out there. They both did great jobs defensively. So that's not an issue moving forward, even if Anthony, you know, certainly if Anthony Rizzo can't play. But I thought they played a clean, crisp series. They, besides the starters, and let's be honest, the starters really weren't given an opportunity to go that deep in the games. And I think they made the right moves. I'm not questioning Boone's decisions, but certainly, Clark Schmidt could have gone deeper into the game the other day. I don't know if I would have trusted Rodon to go deeper into the game, and I think they took out Cole pretty much when he was done, but like you look at how they pitched, the bullpen didn't give up a run the entire series. They ran the bases relatively well. They played defense other than the one error from Volpe pretty well. Like, this was a nice, clean, crisp, well-played series for the Yankees. They just didn't hit with runners in scoring position, which is what they're going to have to do better. Let's go to Val in the Bronx. What's up, Val? We're moving to the ALCS, Val.
Good morning, Brother Mac. Good morning, Brother Mac. How you doing, Dan? You good?
I'm doing great, buddy. How are you?
I'm all right. A couple of things. I got some points I want to make, but a couple of things that I just want to touch on really quickly.
Sure.
Shout out to Ray from Brooklyn. We need some Yankee pit bulls like that every now and again. To when they try to get out of pocket, just check them again, Bray. Just keep checking them. I like to also say thank you, Brother Mac, because I was starting to feel like there was a mum's the word policy on Gleyber Torres' name. He hit the 2-run home run in that first game, and Everybody was giving you all the negativity behind it in the game itself. Nobody even said thank you, Gleyber, or even mentioned the fact that he had it. And it's good that he kept doing things, and that's why I like how you opened your show today. and how much you gave him some flowers. Shout out to Glaber. Shout out to Glaber.
Glaber had a terrific series. Glaber had a terrific series.
There you go. Not to get down to it, all right? To a couple of things I'd like to say really, really quickly, and then I'll get off and let you go ahead and do your show. Number one, I want to say that, you know, I feel like with what's going on right now, like you just talked about it with that thing with Volpe, and even that, like, you know, in terms of the defense and the way the series was a kind of clean series, I think they played really, really good defense throughout the series. And even the error that he had, I think that's really just a question of him being smart enough and a little bit more experienced to know next time you got to hold that. Because the fact that he even got to that ball was what made it such a difficult and crazy play. And the mistake was trying to even make the throw. And that's what made it go away.
I think he had time to make the throw. He rushed it hoping for a double play. He had to realize there he's only getting the one out. I think making the throw was fine, but he rushed it in hopes of trying to turn two, and there was just no way of turning two. He should have made sure, stabilized himself, and had a good throw to second base.
But considering how they were overall defensively, that was the one thing I'm fine with it for right now.
I thought they played fine defensively,
The next thing I'd like to say is, I feel like the way that it's been going through, and maybe it's because of the way that we navigated our route to the postseason, the fact that we had the time off, and we started off, you know, with everybody being concerned that we might be cold and things of that nature. It seems as though with the way that the games have been going, it's actually starting to get like a nice little build. Like with each and every game that they come out, they're starting to build a little bit more and build a little bit more. The offense is starting to get a little bit freer. I actually thought because it was Wack and we had just seen him, like, while we won the game and they did some things offensively that I was cool with, I actually thought that today was going to be a day when not just Judge, but the whole team was going to explode. Because, like, Walker's in their muscle memory. Like, it's not like, you know, you just saw him, you went on the road, you traveled for 2 weeks or a month or something like that, you came back to Kansas City, and now you're seen again. You just saw him the other day, and you saw the best of his stuff. And I had a feeling that's why I got excited the way that they started off the game and they jumped on it early. And I thought there were going to be some big innings. But either way, the workmanlike kind of production that they did to get there was a beautiful thing. Let's just keep building on it. Let's just keep building on it. And let's just keep getting more and more confidence. And you are so right with Stanton, because we need that level. Every time you hear a quote from him after the game, he actually, on the radio broadcast, he went even further to say that because they kept pressing that same kind of question to him. And he's like, I'm not satisfied. Like, you know, like, it's not over yet. Like, I haven't finished my meal. You know what I'm saying?
No, I mean,
there's still food on my plate, and I'm not done yet.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly how he sounded. But it's just, he always says the right thing. I mean, he's been as easy a guy to root for as you could possibly have. And yeah, for me, I mean, listen, it's not just Glaber. Glaber had a great series. But to me, this was the redemption series. Look at who won these games. The biggest star of game one is Verdugo and Holmes. And you could argue Holmes is as important a pitcher in this entire series. He had a great series. Clay Holmes was brilliant. Brilliant. Came in with runners on, came in clean inning, it didn't matter. Sixth inning with the tying run at third base, no problem. Eighth inning of the clincher, no problem. Against what was it, 9-1-2, no problem. I mean, but yes, all the guys we have a problem with, all the guys we wanted jettison away, all the guys we wanted no longer to be part of the team, all the guys we were clamoring for to get traded at the deadline or have a young kid come up and replace them. Verdugo wins game one. Torres gets the two-run home run in game one. He's got the double in this game at the start of it, along with the two-out base hit. Like, unbelievable. And then Stanton, clearly, who everyone hates because he's injured all the time or he makes too much money, the ugly swings, it takes forever when he's coming back, it's station to station on the bases, all the complaints, which I'm not even saying are unfair, but enough, because all we care about is what happens in the postseason, and this guy mashes. And Clay Holmes, no different. Clay Holmes was incredible, and he's yet to give up a postseason run. So you want to talk about trends? You want to call me up and give me the last 80 at-bats of Aaron Judge? How about the last 12 innings of Clay Holmes? Dave in Staten Island, what's up, Dave?
D-Mac, how you doing, brother?
Good, buddy. How are you?
Good. I'm, you know, fired up. Big win for the boys. I'm ready for the CS. But the reason for my call, who do you think we throw on the bump game one?
Yeah. I would think they're going to throw Carlos Rodon.
Listen. that's not a bad start. You're going to call me crazy. He didn't make the DS roster. But I really think we got to give Stroman a shot in game one. You know, New York kid, he knows what's on the line. He's going to bring the energy. And listen, he's been clutch for most of his career in big spots. You look back to the 2017 World Baseball Classic, you know, he brought home the championship for the U.S. He was the MVP of that tournament, so I really think we just got to give him that shot.
Yeah, I just, I can't, he's the odd man out. They're not going to give him that start in game one. They left him off this roster.
I know, but listen, though, if the Tigers win,
yeah,
he's had a sub-2 ERA against the Tigers in his career. Listen, I know that obviously rosters have been changed, but I just think he's got that clutch gene in him, and he's going to get it done if he gets his shot.
Yeah, I mean, this Tiger team is brand new. I mean, it's all young kids. It's a completely different team. I have no idea what his numbers are against the players on this Tiger team, and he's the odd man out. He's been terrible down the stretch, just absolutely awful. You can't start this series with Marcus Stroman on the mound. I'm not even sure why you want to. Are you friends with him? Do you know him? Like, honestly, and I'm not trying to knock Marcus Stroman, and he might make the roster. I don't know. Now the roster might change for a 7-game series. They might add more pitching, and they might give him the bump to be the long man. Because you're going to need 4 starters. Luis Gil's going to, you know, probably be in it. So, you know, now you move him into the roster, and he's the long man. And if Carlos Rodon struggles, you can go to Marcus Stroman. But I'm not giving Marcus Stroman a start. Sorry. He's not been good enough. He's been terrible down the stretch. He's the odd man out. There's a reason they removed him from the rotation. He deserved it. That's why. He's looked awful. And he doesn't have the stuff to live in the strike zone at all. He needs the chase. Does that play for the young kids of Detroit? Maybe. But I can't give him the start. I think Carlos Rodon is going to start game one at Yankee Stadium. And I think Cole's going to go number two. Now, you could go Luis Gil, one. He hasn't pitched yet. Could go Clark Schmidt, one. He'll be on regular rest as well. There is some thought. I saw a couple of people say this online. There is some thought because of what happened with the Yankees and their fans, or whatever you want to call them, the disgusting people who sent terrible messages to Rodon's wife, and just the atmosphere that surrounds Yankee Stadium and the pressure that has been built there. Would you trust him more on the road? I suppose. I mean, so do you want to start him game three and go Clark Schmidt game one? I mean, I could see that. I could see Clark Schmidt one, Cole two, Rodon three, Luis Gil four. I could see that. John in Huntington. What's up, John?
Hey, what's up, bro? I'd like to actually see Gil go game one. You know,
I don't know why.
Yeah, and then, real quick, Bob Costas is the Angel Hernandez of sports broadcasting.
Well, that's not fair. He's had a great career. It's just he's...
I understand that, you know, but also Angel Hernandez has been umpiring for 20 years, too.
Yeah, but I'm not sure he was ever good, to be honest with you.
But, you know, a couple of quick points in the Yanks. Clay Holmes being as good as he's been adds just a different dynamic to that bullpen.
Oh, my man, Clay. Nothing made me happier than watching this guy. And I got to tell you, someone who's defended
him. I'm a big fan of his. You know,
he's got great stuff. The idea they were ever going to abandon him or just hide him somewhere never made any sense. Now he's pitching the eighth inning. They could have went to Canely. They could have went to Cousins. Yeah. They could have went anywhere. He's the next guy. It's Weaver and Holmes.
Yeah, he's been just solid lately. He's looked really well. And Stanton in the lineup, to me, always adds this different dynamic to this team. If they're not hitting, they're still getting their walks in, like, bunches with that, their on-base percentage for the series was, like, 3.37.
No, they got – yeah, listen, that's why I said I disagreed with a lot of people who were very upset with the Yankees who are – they're lifeless, do they even care? What an embarrassing performance. And I'm like, look, they didn't come through with runners in scoring position, no doubt. And ultimately, it's about scoring runs, and it's result-oriented business. But did you think they were lifeless? I thought they had a lot of good at-bats. I thought they drew walks. I thought this offense continually gave themselves opportunity. I think you could argue at times Tonight was as lifeless as they've been. Like in the other series, they made pitchers work. They almost had Reagans out in the second inning. Like,
yeah, that's what they do, man. Yeah. And I just have one more question for you about this. Now, do you think being that Glaber is a free agent, I have a funny feeling he would take a discount to stay here. Mm-hmm. Would you give him money at a discount?
John, I have been quoted on this show saying when I was defending him, I said you can't trade him. I didn't want anything to do with trading Gleyber Torres during the trade deadline. Everybody wanted him moved. He's a bum. He's this. He's that. He's terrible. He's a low IQ player. He's a losing player. And I agree with some of that. That's what we've seen over the course of the regular season. So I've been on record saying I would not sign him for a dollar. I said I want him the rest of this year because this team needs him. I still believe he could be an offensive threat, and clearly I was proven to be right on that. He's been great. He's been great since moving to the Lido spot. But I just felt like they didn't have an option. They weren't going to get what you thought you could get. You're not going to get anything for Gleyber Torres having a miserable first half. What are you going to get for him? Nothing that helps this team. I'm all about this team, and Gleyber Torres was the best second baseman for this team. And having said that, I was all prepared to move on from Gleyber Torres. I still am. But now, I mean, if he continues to play like this, yeah, I am open. I suppose I'm starting to feel much more, you know, open to it, to give him a contract. Now, I'm not giving him a crazy one. If someone looks at his postseason in the last 2 months of what he's done since being the leadoff and wants to offer him, you know, a good money, wants to offer him, I don't know, $22 to $25 million a year, a big contract, then I would let him go. But I would consider now offering him the qualifying offer because two reasons. One, he's been good enough where I'm not going to cry and complain if he takes it. And two, he's been good enough where I think he's gonna feel like he's going to get a legitimate contract offer and he'll turn down the qualifying offer. And if he leaves, we get picks. So a once endeavor that I thought would be useless and I wouldn't even offer him the qualifying offer in fear of him taking it, I feel a little bit better about him taking it the way he's played. And I feel a little bit better about the idea he won't take it because I think he's played well enough in the leadoff spot and into the postseason where he might get a contract. So a lot's changed with Gleyber. You have to be fair. And if he continues to hit like this in the postseason, this is a tight game for the Yankees, right? Let's be fair. Again, they were better than the Royals. I always thought they were going to win this series. I felt a little bit more relief than joy when they did win the series. But that doesn't change the fact that they couldn't lose this game. Because if they lost this game, I don't know how I would have felt about Game 5. If they would have lost this game with Cole on the mound, and then who knows who you're throwing? You're starting Carlos Rodon and be ready to go to the bullpen in the first, second, third inning against Cal Reagans, their best starting pitcher. Like, that would have been a really intense game. And on the first pitch of this game, he laces one in the gap. That's an enormous hit. That's a big run to get that 1-0 lead and put them, you know, put the Yankees in the driver's seat to start. Then he gets the 2-out single, the 2-run home run in game one. Like, you can't argue he's made every single play defensively, every single one. He had a tremendous series. You know, if Stanton didn't do what he did, and, you know, the fact that Stanton doesn't play the field, you could argue that the best player in this series is Gleyber Torres. So, yeah, things change. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. Still taking your Yankee phone calls. We'll get to a little bit of football because something happened with the Jets. Got a little bit more Jet news that makes you wonder exactly what did happen behind the scenes with Robert Saleh. Plus, we got a Giant game against Cincinnati, so maybe we'll mix in a little bit of football, but still take your Yankee phone calls as we celebrate this Friday morning. Yesterday was the Mets. Today was the Yankees, and are we on a collision course for a Subway Series? Because we'll find out later today who the Mets play, and I think they're as good or better than both of them, and I think the Yankees will be better than the opponent they have. So for the first time since 2000, both teams will be playing in the league championship, and quite honestly, we've got as good a chance as you can have to have what would be a crazy. I think this would be bigger than 2000. Yankees were back-to-back World Series champs. They had that dynasty. Everyone expected them to win. I don't think that would be the case this time around. In fact, that's the one thing about this ride with the Mets. It's fun. It's this wild carpet ride. I'm telling you right now, you get to a World Series against the Yankee team that you beat four times out of four in the regular season. You're on this ride against Philly and either San Diego or the Dodgers, and the Yankees have put down the Royals and the Tigers. And you've got all these lefties to throw at this Yankee lineup that can't hit left-handed hitting. There's going to be pressure on the Mets to win that series. Plus, an opportunity to begin with an enormous step to try and take back over the city. I think it's going to take multiple championships if they're going to want to really establish themselves as the team of this city. I don't think one's enough. But if it's against the Yankees, maybe it is. There'll be some pressure for the Mets to win that series. They'll be expected to win that series. If they lose that series, it won't put a killer damper over what's been a great year. But that's the one team you can't lose to. And for the Yankees, I don't know if it's the same anymore. I can't believe I'm going to say these words, but if George were around, yes, you can't lose to the Mets. I don't know how they feel about it. I don't know how Hal feels about it. I mean, you don't want to lose the World Series, but in today's day and age, where there is no back page, I mean, I guess you're fighting for fans and tickets and merchandise, but I think a lot of the pressure would be on the Mets. Typically, a Mets-Yankee series, oh, it's all on the Yankees. I don't know if this World Series happens. I don't know. But we are literally four wins away from each team to finding out. Be insane.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
As far as any of the ridiculous allegations out there, I'm not going to spend more than one sentence in response to it. And that is that I resent any of those accusations because they're patently false. And it's interesting the amount of power that people think that I have.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, that promo, perfect. Because I did want to talk about the Jets real quick. And you know, Aaron, I don't know if we're surprised on how much power you have. Because the idea that he had zero to do with the Robert Saleh firing, I find ridiculous. I think he had something to do with it, even if it was just to give the owner the blessing. And that seems to be, you know, with a lot of the reporting, it feels like this was in the works with Woody Johnson. If only he would have done it to start the season when it makes sense. And that's really the issue. Right? The issue here is the timing of it, not necessarily getting rid of Robert Saleh. It should have, if this was on your mind and a 2-3 start with an opportunity to be in first place was enough to feel like you had to move on, then you should have went and done this in the offseason. But obviously some news today with the whole situation, because if you haven't been paying attention, after they fired Robert Saleh, there was a narrative being presented by reporting, which I don't think anyone's refuted the reporting of the idea that Robert Saleh was going to remove Todd Bowles, was going to remove play calling duties from Nathaniel Hackett. Now, whether that's completely firing him or removing him from play calling and keeping him on the staff, or at least allowing him to stay on the staff, whatever the case, he was going to, before he got fired, or depending on what report you believe, I guess, you know, right before he got fired, notified Nathaniel Hackett that he was not going to be calling plays anymore. And so when that happened, the narrative is, well, that makes sense. Aaron Rodgers loves Nathaniel Hackett, quite clearly. So does everybody, by the way. Man, you can't get a person other than Sean Payton, you can't get a person to say a negative thing about this guy. Everybody loves Nathaniel Hackett. My goodness. What a great guy. I haven't had the pleasure. But he ain't calling plays no more, because that narrative has taken a hit. The narrative that Aaron Rodgers got word and wind that Robert Saleh was going to demote and or fire his guy, Nathaniel Hackett, who everybody loves. And so he went to ownership and said, hey, look, there's a power struggle in here, and me and my coach are going to win it. And that's why Robert Saleh was fired. So we were waiting on this news to determine whether or not that argument held water. As Jeff Ulbrich came out, and he, when he first got hired, said he wasn't sure about what was going on, or he was going to take a look at the coaching staff and make all these decisions. Well, he announced yesterday that he's going to be doing the same thing Robert Saleh wanted to do, and that Todd Downing, not Nathaniel Hackett, will be calling the plays. So the idea that this was all orchestrated so that Nathaniel Hackett could still run the offense is clearly ridiculous, because he's not. And while they're praising him for sticking around, we all know what he is. He's Aaron Rodgers' buddy right now. That's it. The game plan will go through Downing. The play calling will go through Downing. And as Ulbrich said, it's not necessarily for anything other than a change, which I understand. Something needed to give. Aaron Rodgers has clearly given him this blessing. So, like, but the power dynamic and everything that's gone on in here, it's just, it's so hard to understand what the Jets are doing. Like Aaron Rodgers said in the promo we just heard, it's funny how much power people think I have. Well, the way they have presented things, that's all we could do is sit back and try to figure out how much power Aaron Rodgers has. Like, it's so frustrating to see this organization continue to just be mired in such dysfunction. And, you know, if you were going to make changes with the offense, like, this is the only thing. Again, I don't know if firing the head coach is the right or wrong thing. I guess we'll find out. And while I agree, I don't know if he was a good coach. Could you make the argument there's ever a bad time to fire a bad coach? I don't know. But 5 weeks in, I don't know if it makes sense. I still don't. And we'll see how much they improve from it. But they're still making the offensive changes that kind of felt like needed to have happened. We could have at least had 1 week of Robert Saleh making these offensive changes and see what happens. But whatever the case may be, the Jets continue to be just a dysfunctional mess. And right now, the offense needed to change, and there will be changes, and it seems like Rodgers is open to it, but there is no doubt. I'm sorry. Because you could still... I heard Evan say, well, that's proof. That's proof that Rodgers didn't fire him, because if that was why he fired him and that's still going to happen, then how could you possibly say that that's... Well, I suppose that's true. I mean, there is still the idea that... There is an idea that Ulbrich knows that they can't fire him, and he believes he wants, you know, to work here, and he believes changes need to be made. So he said, you know what, I'm going to make the changes anyway. What are you going to do? Fire the interim head coach the day after you hired me? Now you're stuck with me, and I'm going to make my own decisions. I find that unlikely, but I suppose it's plausible. I don't know. Either way, Aaron Rodgers has a grip on this organization. Is it tight enough to convince the owner to fire the head coach on a whim because he likes his offensive coordinator who's done a terrible job? I don't know. I don't know if it's that strong. But it's clearly strong enough to have some serious weight in the room. And we're going to find out if these changes work. Because Monday night's a big game for Buffalo. Big game for the Jets. And an opportunity to see if this different offense... Because I was listening to Tiki, too, as I was driving in today. I don't necessarily think the play calling is the problem. When the team's not functioning, and you're getting all these pre-snap penalties, at least the other week you did, and you're getting the play of Aaron Rodgers, like, that's the issue here. Like, I've been as big an Aaron Rodgers guy as you can be. I've been pro this move from the minute it happened. I told you this was going to be an offense the likes of which the Jets haven't seen in forever. And really, quite honestly, it is. It's very similar to the offense the Jets have seen over the last handful of years. And I predicted and thought that this offense would take flight, and Hall and Garrett Wilson would explode. Instead, they've gotten worse. And Aaron Rodgers, other than the one shining moment on a Thursday night against the Patriots, has looked old and tired and slow. And that's the issue. The offensive line, although it's pass protected and given Rodgers time, apparently, if you read the statistics, he's gotten some time to throw, but he's getting hit. He's missing throws. He's got an inability to maneuver outside the pocket. And a lot of it is on him. And his timing with his wide receivers and his communication with his receivers. I don't know if the plays are the wrong plays or not, because they haven't been able to execute them at the most minimal basic level. So, again, firing Robert Saleh, I can't argue it. He's been a bad head coach. Is it Aaron Rodgers' decision? Well, what we know now that they're still removing his guy, it makes you think, no. Clearly that narrative isn't true, otherwise this wouldn't happen. If that was the power struggle and Aaron Rodgers won it, he wouldn't turn around and lose at Dulbrick. So I have no idea what's going on in the Jets locker room, and ultimately I no longer care. Like, that's pretty much where I am right now. I don't care who the coach is. I don't care who's calling offensive plays. I don't care whether Woody made the decision all on his own and, you know, he had this in his mind for weeks, and the ugly loss to Denver followed by, you know, losing in London, where he was an ambassador for this country out there and had friends and whatever else. I have no idea. Whatever the cause was, however long Woody Johnson was thinking about it, and whatever pushed him over the edge to finally make the decision, I no longer care. And nor should any Jet fans. It's about one thing. How are they going to play Monday night? How are they going to show up? Is Aaron Rodgers going to play better? Because that's what they need. And, you know, I still respect this defense. I don't know how good it is. I don't know if it's a top defense in this league, but it's one of them. Right? It's a top 10 defense. And, you know, despite the firing of the coach, I thought he did a good job with his defense at the very least. And you've still got players, despite the idea of other players running their mouth after games where you get the impression they don't like the coach. You hear whispers of that throughout the reporting. Yet, Sauce Gardner's talking about still doing it for Coach Saleh. It's just such a freaking mess. Nothing ever gets done in the right way. Nothing ever gets done easy. You've got other reports bashing the Jets media for not asking Aaron Rodgers the right questions. Like, this is all the stuff that surrounds them. I keep saying it. They are a planet of crap. And they have this gravitational pull. And there are all these satellites circling this planet of crap. It's just, oh, they fire the coach. Oh, the story of, you know, he was escorted out of the building. Oh, it's the flag he had on his shoulder. Oh, it was to save Nathaniel Hackett's job. Oh, Nathaniel Hackett lost his job anyway. Oh, why weren't the tougher questions being asked of Rodgers on the firing? Oh, Woody Johnson's been wanting to do this for weeks. Why not do it at the start of the year then? Like, these all the things that surround this organization and this team forever. It never ends. There's only one way to end it. And it's to friggin' stand up and win. And for me, we could talk about the play calling, and we could talk about the offensive game plan, and we could talk about all the deficiencies this team has faced under Robert Saleh and how they still continued, whether it's, you know, I heard a caller call into the Afternoon Jive show, and he gave you a whole bunch of stuff about, you know, the scoring differential in the first quarter and first half between the Jets and their opponent, the amount of penalties called between the difference in penalties between the Jets and their opponent, and all the different stuff that we've seen under Robert Saleh, and how it continued, even though I thought once you added the quarterback, all of that would change. It hasn't. Do we expect this to suddenly clean all that up? Are they going to come out firing on all? Like, I actually saw a video from someone where said, here's a damning comment from Ulbrich on what went on in the Jets locker room. And it's the clip of Ulbrich, and they ask, well, what do you think is going to help change the start of these games where you get off to these miserable starts? Like, what are you going to do? And he says, well, it all comes down to the preparation. It comes down to, you know, making sure we're in the meetings on time and you know, getting our pencils ready to go right away. And I saw this guy who was like, what a damning statement. What the hell was going on with Robert Saleh that the pencils weren't ready? I'm like, I suppose. Or Ulbrich has no answer to that question, and he gives you cliches about showing up on time. Like, honestly, does that sound like an answer that makes any sense to you? Like, what's going to help us get off to the great start? What do they need to really work on starting better in the first quarter, in the first half? Well, we need our pencils sharpened. I suppose you could look at that and say, well, why the hell wasn't Robert Saleh sharpening pencils? Or you could say, this new coach has the same answer that Robert Saleh had. I don't know. Sharpen our pencils? There is no answer with the Jets. The answer is play better. And right now I look at one person and one person only, because he was brought here to elevate the play. And I expected him to, and in many ways I still expect him to, and it starts Monday night against Buffalo. Go out there, and I don't care about the questions anymore. I don't care about any of this. Go play. Because I really don't think it's the play calling. I really don't. We went over this last year, I remember, and me and Fliegelman talked about it. We Baldinger went over clips, and you show it. Like, there were plays with Zach Wilson where they were running free. It's not like play calling in the NFL. It's a lot like pitching to me. Like, as long as you execute it and have belief behind it, most of the time you'll make it work on some level. Sure, is there a terrible play call under a certain set of circumstance that's a disaster? Sure. Do I like on 4th and 1, a long one at that, lining up the running back 9 yards behind the line of scrimmage and being in shotgun? No, I don't like that. Are there other things in the game plan that I think are silly and don't work? I suppose, but on a play-to-play basis, most of them will at least have an opportunity to be successful if you execute it. The execution of this team has been far worse than the game plan or the play calling. So how much will this all change? I don't know. How much did Rodgers have to do with the firing of Robert Saleh? I don't know, nor do I care that much. We know he's got impact on it. They didn't fire a good coach. They didn't fire a coach they just hired. It wasn't some sort of thing out of the freaking blue. This guy's, his job has been on the line for a year and a half. So ultimately, I don't care if Aaron Rodgers had a lot to do with the firing. I don't care if he's okay with Nathaniel Hackett not calling plays or not, or if Aaron Rodgers is the main call player at the line of scrimmage anyway they run the way they run this offense. Whatever the case may be, they have put together two of the most disgusting, miserable, ugly football games we have seen from an Aaron Rodgers-led team in the last decade plus. Is that going to continue, or are they going to get better? That's all I care about. And I don't care about the answers given in the press conference, because all the answers I need will be provided Monday night. That's where it matters. That's the test. That's where the answers have to be correct. They don't have to be right in the press conference. They have to be right on Monday. Have they prepared themselves well enough to go out there and compete against the Buffalo Bills and come out on top and figure out a way to say to yourself, you know what? All the nonsense, all this, all the craziness, all the questions, all the BS, all the wondering, it all leads to this. We're 3-3 and in first place in our division. Because they're good enough to be. They're talented enough to be. And maybe more talent's coming, right? Hassan Reddick's agency left him. So I don't know if he's being stubborn or like what's going on there, or if he's going to hire a new agency that is more inclined to make a deal. Who knows? It feels like that's never going to happen now. And Davante Adams, although it seems like this dysfunction has changed things, and I know Antonio Pierce said some things that made people believe that maybe he's not 100% out of Vegas, and as of late, you know, the Saints and some other teams have popped up as viable options. I don't know. I think they could use Davante Adams, obviously. I do think that, you know, the relationship between Garrett Wilson and Aaron Rodgers has slowed to such a snail's pace that I'm willing to bring in a wide receiver with previous history and greatness with Aaron Rodgers. But even if he's not here, and even if Hassan Reddick is not here, they're talented enough to go beat the Bills. They're talented enough to go make the playoffs. And I wait for the day that's what we're focused on with the New York Jets and not the ancillary BS. Thank you, Eddie. Eddie's congratulating me on a very clean, efficient New York Yankee victory as they took care and dispatched of the Kansas City Royals. And that's what I want to talk about, not the dysfunction at Florham Park. 888-808-1019. McMonagle here with you. Quick break, update, come back, get to your calls, talk a little Yankee baseball as they are now ready for the American League Championship Series. Two teams are moving on, both of them play in New York City.